You are now tuned in to Let's Talk Ferrella, and this is a new segment I like to call Cypher Something. I have some guest stars with me that I'm going to introduce you after this amazing beat. Shouts out to Bob. Blah! Hey, yo, what's up, everybody? This is Let's Talk Ferrella, and I'm here with the legend himself. Anybody who's ever gotten a haircut in their whole fucking life has gotten cut by this guy one point or another. Super duper positive guy, amazing guy, longtime friend, my man, Gerald. Your last name is Desoleil, right?
Donaire.
Donaire?
Desoleil, where'd you get that from?
I don't know. I don't know. My boy, Gerald. What's up, man?
What's going on, y'all?
So we're gonna start the episode off by going off mindset, like the type of mindset that it takes to have hustle and drive. Like, can you chime in on that?
Yeah, for sure. Well, first off, thanks for having me here.
Hell yeah, bro.
Hell yeah, I'm here to talk about just mindset, mental awareness, my career as a barber and what I've been through, and I just been huge on just hustle and grind right now. I mean, I feel like we're so young that we have the capacity to, you know, do shit.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? And so I'm taking advantage of it, man.
Honestly,
prime age right here.
That's exactly how I feel. Like, even though we super young, it's like I'll meet guys who's our age who will like focus on just having a job or just focus on just doing one thing. But it's like you said, I feel like now that we on our prime age, like young 20s, bro,
yeah.
I really feel like whatever you do right now in your 20s is literally the building blocks for your life. Like, if you fuck your 20s off, you going to be doing all the work you were supposed to do in your 20s and your 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just pushing your life back. And it's like, why I got the energy? I got the ability to wake up and have an entire day off, 4 hours of sleep. It's like, why not grind for everything that I want right here, right now, today,
mm-hmm.
just to make minimal sacrifices today.
It's crazy, bro. And we know people like that, right? Well, it's not a bad thing because everybody's in different phases of their life.
True.
It's just, especially in the time that we live in, we're just exposed to the information and we're just smart enough to understand that, like, okay, we could do this shit now. You know what I mean? The position that we're in, if you're not happy about it, you could do something about it. And I guess I just been pushed back, you know, a lot of pressure on me that it's, bro, I'm going to just make shit work for me now.
So how do you maintain that hustle mindset even though you got all these obstacles in your way? Like, how do you keep going?
I'm real big on habits and rituals.
Habits and rituals. You ever heard the saying, your habits form your habitat?
No, I haven't.
Whatever you do every single day is pretty much the lifestyle that you have. So,
yeah.
You barbering every day will make you a successful barber. You grinding on the side every day will make you a better hustler in what you do.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is too, bro. Because with cutting hair, as I was starting to like take on more clients, it just started to become habitual. I was on a structured schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, it was like, okay, when can I fit my meals in? When can I fit my workouts in? What could I do before my work day to make sure that my mindset is right, that I had everything good at the house with my lady,
mm-hmm.
With family, and then I worked. And how could I create rituals in between everything in order for me to be successful, at least for the day? Because, bro, you know, that's what everybody's trying to get at, right? It's just to survive the day.
Bro, I like that. I like that mind. I like that quote so much because, like, it was a point where the only thing I was focused on was just my job.
Mm-hmm.
Making the money, coming home, mm-hmm. saving money. And then, like you said, I felt myself, even though I was progressing, it's like, for me, I felt stationary because it's like,
mm-hmm.
like you said, the gap that I had before work and the gap I had after work, So it's like I just made my work the last thing on my schedule.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though it's my main bread and butter, mm-hmm. it's the last thing on my schedule. Because it's like I got to make time to work out.
Yeah.
I got to make time for my woman. Mm-hmm. I got to make time for friends and family. I got to make time for the business.
Yep, yep.
And it's like, shit, even right now, got to make time for the podcast. Like
right.
the whole saying mm-hmm. when people hit you with, oh, man, how do you have so much going on? We got the same 24 hours.
Yeah.
It's what you do in those 24 hours. Like, you only sleep for 8 hours. You have, what, an entire day to yeah. get shit done. And you don't got to sleep for 8 hours. Like, that whole sleeping for 8 hours mm-hmm. is all subjective. So, it's like, the only way to really get through and feel like you're progressing is, like you said, take right. it one day at a time. Because for me, I always felt like I was taking a step back when I would think about what I had to do for the week, the month, or the year.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like when you plan out that far ahead, but then you just every day, all right, I'm going to the gym. All right, I'm going to go home, spend time with my woman. Okay, I'm going to go cut hair. Okay, then I'm going to go spend time with my boys.
Yeah.
It's like having that structure day to day makes everything you got going on progress.
I love it, man.
And it's like, I love that shit, bro.
It was about 4 years ago. Right. And I could honestly tell you, man, like a lot has changed, at least with like how I conducted myself and like how I carried myself. And I tell you, bro, like the shit I was doing, we was out drinking, smoking. I still cut hair and I was still invested in my time towards like building my clientele, my business. But it was like that was the only thing I had going for me. Right. So prior to cutting hair for the day, right, I'd start at usually like 10 o'clock, 11,
mm-hmm.
in the garage back in the day. You feel me, bro?
Yeah, hell yeah.
I'd wake up literally like 30 minutes before because I'd be up all night just hanging out, chilling, smoking, and drinking. And at one point, bro, it became an everyday thing. And so I was struggling to figure out, man, why isn't shit working out for me? Like, why is it that I feel like I'm working a lot more? And I'm taking on clients and I'm, you know, people hit me up like, hey, can I come through for a cut? And I take them on knowing that like, cool, that's an extra $20 in my pocket. Yeah, come on in, come on in.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever would call me, I would have him come in, bro. And I was still chasing my own tail, bro. You know what I mean? And I was buying clothes. I was buying Jordans and all that stuff. And that's where all my money was invested towards. And I was helping pay rent. I was whatever I could do, phone bills and all that. But just to get straight to the point, man, I had no structure, bro. The only structure that I had was when I started cutting hair in the morning all the way to at night. You know what I mean? And so as years went by, I started to, I guess, accumulate more cash. And this is kind of like, I feel like this is the turning point right here, bro, was when Bitcoin started coming up. And I'm not a big crypto guy.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. I don't do much stock or whatever. But when people was telling me people were coming up off of Bitcoin, I was like, dude, I got cash on me. Let me go ahead and see what I could do with it. At the time, I think it was like at 2017. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think at the time it was around like $2,000.
Or it like
$1,700, right? I had cash on me, bro. I think I had like a total of like $2,500. I was in my room and I called my cousin and I was like, hey, Let's go to this Shell gas station off of Charter.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Bitcoin kiosk over there. Let's go buy a Bitcoin. I just need your bet because it's out south. He was strapped up or whatever, and I was like, he was like, it's good. Let's go.
Okay.
And so we went. I had all my cash on me, bro. I was ready to deposit it to buy one Bitcoin, right? And so mind you, I'm already reading books. I have read that book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and it was
that's a good book.
One of the rule of thumbs that he's taught me in that book was, you put all your cash into one basket, that's not a good idea. You need to put some in one thing and then make sure you have cash reserves just in case for any bad days, right?
Yeah.
But I had $2,500, right? The Bitcoin was 17 at the time. After the fees and everything, it came out to like 23, 20, 24.
Mm-hmm.
And I could afford it. All I had to do is deposit my cash, but because I had no structure, I was afraid that, man, if I had a bad day, right, if one day my client stopped, you know, hitting me up or I injured myself, I wouldn't have been able to afford shit no more, like, you know, be able to, you know, support myself. So I knew, like, you know what? I got this cash. I could buy Bitcoin, or I could just hold back and just not do it. I decided not to do it because I stuck with my guns and just was like, you know, that rule of thumb I learned from the book. Like, there's no way I'm going to spend all this money on something that's not even promising and be out of luck later in the future. And so I didn't do it, bro. And next thing you know, that's just...
Shot went the out fuck to fucking up, bro.
$50,000 in the next couple of years, and I could have had at least one Bitcoin. But the matter of the fact was, man, I knew that I could be doing more of my time with the money that I was accumulating. I could make that money work more for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have simply started with crypto, with Bitcoin, but I didn't. And so I had to switch the mindset a little bit and be like, all right, man, what could I do more with my time? So I started getting up earlier. I started reading more books. Then in between haircuts, I started reading more. And the guys at the barbershop would tell you, bro, like, I used to be in the back just reading books. I don't do that so much anymore because... I was like, I understand how my brain operates, bro. If I'm working at the barbershop and I read in between clients, I tired myself out.
Yeah.
I'm putting more exhausting intellectual, yourself. Like, work into, you know what I mean? Into exhausting myself.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the day, I was just completely drained. You know what I mean? And so I had to learn how to conserve more of my energy in the front part of my day. And then being at the barbershop, that's when I just burned the oil for the day. Because it was like, it was so familiar to me. Like, I knew how to do that. I knew how to do it in my sleep. So all the shit that I didn't want to do was in the first part of my day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to the barbershop and worked.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me, bro? So that was the transition into, like, okay, I need to have a more structured lifestyle.
Bro, like, I swear to God, I swear... That is word for word my turning point. Like, for one, the whole fucking thing with Bitcoin, I always kick myself in the ass. Do you remember Jeremy Cabocain?
Yeah.
Bro, we had a rap music production club, bro. We all sit in there, swag the fuck.
Coach Anthony, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, bro, we all fucking sitting in there rapping and chilling, right? Do you know... This is when I at a young age identified that the only way to get ahead is by stepping out of the debt consumer market, meaning staying away from Jordan shoes and clothes. And the only reason that I peeped that is because, bro, in high school, Jeremy Cabocain was like, hey, y'all, there's this new thing coming out, cryptocurrency, Bitcoin. The shit's like a dollar. I'm a yellow in like 30 grand. I sold all my clothes and shoes. I'm going to see what happens. Do you know that we all laughed at him? We all laughed at him and said, bro, there's no way that we're going to go to electric money. That sounds dumb.
So he was early on it, bro, because I didn't find out until
a dollar, my nigga. Bro, he told me in 2013. No, 2010, because it was sophomore year.
Yeah, yeah.
2010, my nigga. I'm sitting here wearing $100.
Yeah, yeah.
The hundreds hoodie, my nigga. And he's like, bro, you could have just jumped in with me. And I'm like, nah.
That's crazy, bro.
And then it was like how you said that the work was the guaranteed money so much that it became muscle memory.
Mm-hmm.
I found myself waking and baking before I went to work. Mm-hmm. Smoking as soon as I came home.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, it was a point in my life where I was buying Dutch's by the 30-pack, buying an exotic ounce of weed every week.
I remember, I'm still
cashing out on shoes, Jordan clothes, still taking exotic trips. But then I found myself stationary.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'm accumulating more clothes. We're taking more trips.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sitting here like, I make bread. But when I check my papers, I didn't really have shit to show for it.
Yeah,
bills
yeah.
is paid.
Right.
I got the swaggiest clothes. But when it came to if I got injured or something happened,
yeah.
we wouldn't have been able to last more than 2 weeks, maybe a month.
That was the scare of it, too,
that,
man.
That was that the fucked happened, up thing, like, bro.
You're up against the ropes, man.
Yes.
You got all these shoes, you got all these clothes, but...
I don't have shit else. And it was like the only thing that I knew was the comfort of buying the shit that I like because of the money I made. But, bro, I have a whole fucking bookshelf over there under the desk. I got Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I got Mindset Therapy.
Yeah.
I started to understand that, for one, me hanging out with my guys all the time, that's all they did.
Mm-hmm.
So your habits form your habitat. You hanging around with potheads, smokers, that's what you gonna be. So I love my niggas. I had to take a break from them. And then I started to understand, hey, the skills that it takes to become a millionaire, to become an entrepreneur, has nothing to do with how you grew up. All those skills can be taught and learned by you reaching out and going to go look for the information. So instead of being at work all day, listening to music, bro, I start binging podcasts. I start binging audiobooks. I start binging financial awareness. I start binging financial literacy, investments, cryptocurrency. Anything that I felt that I needed to get myself ahead without my job, because it's like, I love my job. I make bomb money. But it's like, bro, the idea of retiring, bro, that shit sound depressing, my nigga.
Do you know how much a grill is?
A grill?
Yeah.
Very expensive. I know that. Why?
So, just to piggyback from what you were talking about with clothes and everything like that, having to spend your money on shit that's worthless.
Yeah.
Right? Me and my boy, we went out to Sacramento to Gold USA. We're like, bro, let's go get some grills. We're like, fuck it, let's go. This is my guy, right? Shout out to my boy Nate, bro. He's a nurse now, and so like, you know, we had money, bro, and we're like, fuck it, bro, like let's go buy a grill. You know what I mean? And at the time, like, bro, like, of course, you know, we're just trying to impress other people, right? I was just trying to impress my girl, whatnot. So we got the grill. Had to be the most expensive piece of jewelry that I've ever bought, bro. And it was all for the purpose of impressing people. How much was it? You gonna laugh. It's, I mean, to other people, it's not that expensive. But to me, like...
How much was it?
It was $400.
That's expensive.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
For a piece of jewelry.
Yeah. Right?
And so, I bought it to impress other people. And mind you, you know, I'm trying... You know, I'm thinking I got this on and you talk a little different. You know, you're in the club and it's something about the grill that, like, it makes you have, like, a weird lisp. You know what I'm saying?
When you hit them with that list, they love that shit.
We went to San Jose and we partied and like I wore it like all night long. Come to find out, my girl didn't even like it, bro. She was like, "Yeah, you know I don't like hanging out with you when you wear that shit,
bro."
Bro, I was like, "Wait, what? You don't like it?"
I thought I was the man with this shit.
I thought I was the man with it, bro. So I knew right then and there. I was like, "Dude, like, if she don't like it, then I'm pretty sure other folks don't like it. And so, like, what am I doing wasting my time buying a piece of jewelry like this?" So I had to just stand around. And it wasn't until recently, bro, I just sold it at the pawn shop for, like, $60, which was stupid of me because I probably would have just sold it back to Gold USA. They would have melted it and then just gave it to somebody else.
True.
You know what I mean? And so that was kind of my thing where, like, you know what, bro? Like, that grill was the most expensive piece of jewelry, not the most expensive thing that I had bought for myself to impress others, but that was kind of like that turning point where, like, all right, bro, like, what am I doing with my money?
That's when you wake up, bro.
Stupid. Yeah,
that, like, that right there is so relative because I'm sitting here. It was what I want to say. This is about a year ago. Like, I've been a year clean sober, meaning no buying shoes, no buying clothes.
Yeah.
I'm wearing Vans, bro. I'm plain Jane because wealth is a mindset. And I was too focused on, bro, if you see Dwayne, he's not going to be in the same thing. No. He's going to be in Off-White. He's going to be in Louis. He's going to be fresh.
Yeah.
But then it was me so caught up in having the impression on other people when they seen me, I really start to, bro, y'all don't even give a fuck about me. I'm always buying a new outfit anytime I hang out with y'all. I really feel like the only person staying stationary, digging himself in a hole is me. And then I'm like, you know what? Gave up all that shit. Be focused on just being plain Jane. And it's like, now, bro, I feel better. I used to have the waves, 360, bro, dipping. But then, even though other people would see me with my shit spinning, bro, it was me fucking brushing my hair every day, having a panic attack if I didn't have my fucking do-rag on, because I'm so focused on how people would see me when they first met me, when it was like, okay, Dwayne is a cool, swaggy nigga, but if we sat down and talked about anything to do with finances, then that was just a gap that I wasn't in. And then I'm like, you know what? What the fuck am I doing?
So like, if buying clothes was a big part of you, right? And, like, you're on this hustle to, like, against gaining financial freedom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't it that we still can't keep that same lifestyle, buying clothes because we love it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know we're not trying to impress other people no more because we're at a point where it's like, dude, it's like that's not what it's about.
You but still
I know
can,
folks. Yeah, I know folks that still do that, and they do just enough for themselves
mm-hmm.
that you know it keeps them happy. And it's just one of those things where it's like everybody has hobbies, right? I got a homie that like the stocks or whatever, and he loves doing that. That's more of a hobby, and he puts all his money in there. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Got my boy. He does. He drives. He goes off roading, and he puts a lot of his time and money into those trips. I got a boy that does fishing. You know what I mean? So we all have this one thing that we invest a lot of our money in.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, who's to say that buying clothes isn't just a hobby? You know what I mean? And so
your bank account.
Yeah, the bank account. But like, you can still have that hustle and drive and do more and still have that as part of your lifestyle.
I realize that is 100% true, because instead of boom, I get paid.
Yeah.
This check, I'm gonna buy two pairs of shoes for $500. And it's like, okay, I'm gonna have a couple of dollars left over till the next check, but then I'll catch myself almost in that cycle of check to check.
Yeah.
So it's like, to maintain that lifestyle, the best, easiest way that I learned how to do it was to just budget for it. If you still want to take those exotic trips and fucking swag the fuck out, you can. Mm-hmm. But it's like, instead of having your bread basket and you just treat it as, oh, I'm gonna get it next week, nah, you have to have your money in separate baskets. Like, you gotta have your bill money, you gotta have your spending money, your fun money.
Explain to the people, what do you mean by separate baskets?
So
I understand what that means, but a lot of people don't, bro.
Okay, so from my point of view, for mm-hmm. one, I got a bank account where I get paid in.
Yeah.
And when I get paid in that account, the first thing I do is pay my bills. Absolute first thing.
Yeah.
Immediately after that, all my money gets diversified. So I'll put in like, I don't know, $200 into my business account. I'll put in $100 into me and wifey's trip account.
Yeah.
And then I'll put in like 40% into our joint account, just because if you have your money in different places, it helps you actually, like, bro, like, I even have a fucking Excel spreadsheet on my finances.
I do too.
Like, if you're not sitting there, bro, if you're not writing that shit down,
yeah.
You'll literally check your bank. Like, I spent $1,000, $5, $10, $11, $12, $9,
bro, $8. So I learned from my boy, right? Like, he's my mentor almost, and he tells me that he don't like making money an issue. And I love that. You feel me, bro? But like, why is it that I make it such an issue? You know what I mean? And so I think for me, I had to make the realization that, like, okay, let me learn how to manage my money so that way it's not an issue for me no more. And I'm not saying that I'm going to get so rich that it's you know what I mean? It's not a thing for me to like be concerned of. But I think if, just like with your health and just like with your family and your lady or whatever, you do enough that you do just enough with them, or like you do what you got to do in order to make sure that you're balanced, that you could still enjoy yourself, right? And so with money, bro, like, sure, I don't have, you know, so much in my bank account right now, but if I'm doing everything I could for the day, like, you know, making sure that I'm making enough calls, or making sure that I'm cutting enough people, or that I'm not spending so much, that if I can manage my money, like, I'll be cool, and I wouldn't have to make money so much of an issue. And so when somebody asks me about, hey, let's make this trip, I'm like, my first thing in my head, naturally, right, this is just my thought process,
say, yeah,
fuck, man, let me try to figure out how I can afford it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just naturally how I am.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you, like, okay, let's go. Like, no, I'm going to figure it out. You know, I'm going to try to figure it out. And then eventually I'll kind of run my numbers and try to see, you know, okay, how I'd be able to, you know, go there.
And that right there is exactly, see, so you totally understand what it means to budget for everything you do. Like, a lot of folks don't know that it's okay to say no. Like, motherfuckers be broke as hell trying to go out to eat with you, fucking up their credit card. Mm-hmm. Motherfuckers be broke as hell trying to go with you to Tahoe, when literally the conversation can easily be, hey, Gerald, I would have gone if you hit me a month ago. I could have budgeted for it. As of right here, right now, mm-hmm. I got about $1,000 in my savings. The trip that y'all told me is going to cost me $500. Yeah. Do I got the money? Yes, but I'm going to have to take a step back because this is going to cut what I got in reserve in half.
Yeah.
And it's like people don't understand that you can say no to shit, you can budget for shit, and having the ideology of, yo, how can I afford this is the best thing to have. And then I'm going to have to steal that quote how your friend said, you make money not the issue. And the only way to really truly do that is by living off less money than you make. If you always got money stacked up, saved, you pay your car, you pay your bills, mm-hmm. you and your lady go out once or twice a month to have your date nights. Obviously, you got to have those. It's like once you get to the point where, damn, I'm not buying as much clothes, I'm not going out as much. It's like then you'll get at that point where it's like it's not really an issue because you got three paychecks set away. You're not waiting on next week.
Ain't it weird, bro, that because we live in California and, I mean, at the age that we're at, we're starting to think about more about, like, okay, how can we set ourselves up? I mean, for me, I don't have aspirations to become rich, but I'm always constantly thinking, like, how could I set myself up for the future?
Why not?
You know what I mean? Well, all I'm saying is, like, are most people that live in certain parts of the United States thinking this way? Or is it just us in California? Because fucking California is like regulation state.
I feel capital. Like it's you us in California.
It's crazy. For me, right, it's just having that conversation that makes it more like, I guess, normal for, you know, for us to like if somebody comes up to me and I feel like people like talking to me about business because that's just naturally how I am.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? And so, like, let's normalize these talks more. You feel me, bro? Let's normalize assets and, like, LLCs.
And talking financial literacy and talking about budgeting and saving money. Like,
And another person probably don't have, like, that's not their language. You get what I'm saying? And I totally get that. Like, I got friends that we talk nothing but sports. I don't hate on it, bro. We talk nothing. And I have other friends that we talk about, like, times that we've had when we used to smoke hella weed and drink. That's cool. You know what I mean? Like, and in a relationship basis, like whatever we had going on, bro, like we could talk about that. But if I feel like you're way ahead of me, like I'm gonna ask you some questions, and you know, if you have questions for what I have going on, right, we're gonna reciprocate that same type of conversation. But it's just I just feel like between you and I, we could vibe off of this conversation because we're at the same point where we're trying to manage our money and we're trying to manage our cash flow. And where can we make our money work more for us? And that's just through, like, doing different businesses and having different streams of, you know, income.
And then it's like, for me, it was really that mm-hmm. and really just trying to focus on getting ahead because it's like, shit, bro, I had a buddy. All we did, anytime he came over, he would never ask me about the business. He would never ask about my podcast, never ask about my artwork. All he wanted to do was just smoke weed. Mm-hmm. I don't got a problem with that. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I don't like to just smoke and sit. It's like, I like to be productive and progressive. Like, I got to a point where I started looking at friendships and relationships like a job application. Like, okay, I'm going to hang out with Gerald. Okay, what are the benefits?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that I'm better. I'm just saying that I'm forever a student and I always want to be in a learning environment. Like, I don't care if I'm the dumbest guy in the group because I'm around assets. I'm around people who can teach me stuff. And it's like, I realize, shit, bro, I have a buddy right now. He's 2 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. This motherfucker makes like $85,000 a month. Mm-hmm. To me, that's big money. Mm-hmm. Because from where I come from, my family, I
totally get it,
folks
bro.
Don't make that much. But in his mindset, in his group, in his family, mm-hmm. he's like, bro, this ain't shit. I still got work to do. My brother making $250. Mm-hmm. My business partner, he making $300. Mm-hmm. And this dude is my age, self-taught real estate agent. Self-taught, he taught himself how to fucking build solar panels. Didn't go to school for it, nothing.
Right.
And it was really just based off of, this is where I want to end up in my life, and I know exactly what I have to do to get there.
Right, right.
And that right there was what really drove me to be like, okay, I need more out of life. Like how you say, okay, I can't see myself being a millionaire. I would not say that out loud because you do not want to set that in stone for your life to be in a situation where you just making the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. Being a millionaire, I always say it's guaranteed. Being a billionaire is something I can't see myself doing because I know I'm going to have to kill a couple children or something. Ain't no way you a billionaire, scot-free. Right. You ain't took no lives.
I mean, even if you're going to make some sort of power, like power business moves, bro, like you, somewhere along the decisions that you make to make those moves, bro, like you're pushing somebody down. You know what I mean? And so, like, we could talk about that more, man, because, like, I'm in a business that people see kind of like, because doing real estate, right? We market out to homeowners that may be in a situation where they need to sell. Mm-hmm. Right? I had to change the perspective on that because in the beginning it was like, hold up. So we're kicking people out of their homes, right? Mm-hmm. But then I listen to some podcasts and they say all the time, we're like, look, we're helping people out. You know, we're getting these folks that are in situations where they're going through, you know, deaths in the family, they're going through divorces, and they're going through, let's say, like the, you know, the person that owns a property has bad tenants and that he can't take it no more, and that he needs to sell, and someone needs to take on those tenants. And so I'm thinking, like, okay, well, in what way does that help the people out? Mm-hmm. Remember, you get these guys, the homeowners, and all it takes for them to be out of their situation is sometimes just to sell that home and to get the equity that they built over the years that they owned it, and just kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So
let's just let it go. And so I don't speak too much of it because I'm still trying to build my infrastructure with the business. But when it comes to changing perspective on, like, how am I going to conduct myself in my business, it's to help other people. You know what I mean? And so, like I said, I don't have aspirations to make billions of dollars. I want to do this with the angle of helping others.
1,000%.
You get what I'm saying? And so when I talk to people about real estate, they might not like it, and some may have more questions. Like, hey, bro, what are you really doing? What are you flipping homes? What are you landlording now? Do you own hella property? I'm like, no, I mean, I'm in a point where what I'm doing marketing and sales. Mm-hmm. And so I have to market out to people that may want to sell. And if they need to, okay, how could I help you? Right? If I can't help you, then I'm not going to continue forward with you. I'll follow up with you every week or every month and see what you need. But, and these are people within our community, right? I'm marketing it out to Stockton homeowners. And so if anybody needs some sort of help, and selling their real estate may be the solution to the problem, then let's try to see what we can do and collaborate with each other and make that work.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? And so my angle isn't to make millions of dollars, but to help others.
And I feel like you focus on helping others, the money will come. Mm-hmm. Even when starting my business, I'm not focused on the amount of money. I'm focused on how many people that I can teach about how important it is to learn about affirmations, yeah. How important it is to speak your day into existence every single day. Like, I feel like if you focus on the relationship and the life-changing outcome, then the money is guaranteed.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you focus on solely the money and lackluster in the relationships, then you as a real estate agent, you know that it's not going to go good for you, especially if you're an asshole, just focus on the money. But if you're a great guy focused on trying to help people out and get them out of their situations, then you will end up as, oh, okay, well, I love this guy. I want to work with him more because he didn't ask me about my finances. Yeah. The first thing this dude did was ask me how my daughter was doing.
Right.
And it's like building those relationships is how you accumulate the relationships to get them dollars. So yeah. I feel like where you are right now in a real estate game, bro, I feel like you're doing amazing.
And you know what's crazy is, like, I'm taking my sweet ass time with real estate. You know what I mean? Because it's always gonna be there. It's about building it's about building your foundation and really grounding your roots. I always have to ask myself, okay, how can I implement what I'm doing now with cutting hair, right, and segue that into my real estate business? And it doesn't work hand in hand, right? You cut in here making self-employed money, and then you have a business where you gotta have you gotta feed the payroll account every single week.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took me a while to figure out, but like I understood that, dude, I'm in the customer service industry, right? Those are my strengths. Like, I had to serve people, and if I could, and that's what I'm best at barbering. Okay, let me just see if I can, you know, bring the same concepts and the same principles into real estate.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me, bro? And so I'm making these calls, I'm making these appointments, and I'm talking to people. I'm bringing value to real estate agents, probate attorneys, divorce attorneys, and I'm at their service. You get what I'm saying? And so I read this book. It's called The Go-Giver.
Mm-hmm.
And in that book, it teaches the five laws of stratospheric success.
Okay.
And so you should read that book, bro, because...
The Go-Getters?
The Go-Givers.
Go-Givers?
And that's kind of the dichotomy of it, right? It's like, okay, people want to be go-getters, but you need to understand that whatever business that you're in, and I don't care what business you're in, you're serving people. All right, me as a barber, right, I'm making money, but I'm serving the client that's in my chair. As a real estate entrepreneur, I can make money using rental properties or doing fix and flips, but I'm serving the sellers that want to sell me the home. You know what I'm saying? And so with you and, you know, doing your personal branding and all that stuff,
uh-huh.
like you, I feel like you got to put yourself in the position that you're serving people. You get what I'm saying? And so like, that's usually how, like, that's how business works, man. You get what I'm saying? And so like, I have this flashcard on my barber station,
mm-hmm.
and it says, give more in value than what you receive with the service that you render.
Give more in value than what you receive
with the service that you render.
Explain that.
So if I'm always thinking about the money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I cut hair and I get clients to come in, and all I'm thinking about, okay, what can I do to make more money off of this client?
Okay.
People, okay, let me go ahead and provide more services. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you switch up the angle and switch up the question from how can I make more money off of this client to how can I better serve this client, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in some means, it might just be, okay, just giving them the same service that they've always expected from you from the time when you first cut their hair 5 years ago to now, or to simply just give them a listening ear to what's going on with their day.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? It's, you know, letting them know that they're there, that you're there for them. You get what I mean? And
yeah.
So, like,
building relationships.
Yeah, I'm fortunate to be around, like, good people at the barbershop. Like, my OG, Jamel, shout out to him, man.
But, Parlor 88.
Yeah, Parlor 88. Thanks to him, man, I learned how to conduct myself as a barber and the professionalism that, you know, he shows that, like man, I gotta carry myself like OG here. You get what I mean? And so I understood that, dude, if it's more about the money, it's more about the people that you serve than just the money that you're making. So give more value than what you receive in payment with the service that you render.
I like that. God damn.
You feel me?
I like that a lot.
So that's the principle that I have to carry on with real estate.
Providing a better, I mean, honestly, in real estate, that makes sense, because it's not like you'll talk to a client the same day and sell a home. It's like you got to sit there and go show a few houses. If they call you during the day, that's a conversation you got to have. Mm-hmm. You might even catch yourself calling them late at night just to check on them, just to see what they got going on. And it's like, obviously, shit, it might even end up in a situation where they don't buy a home. But that doesn't mean that, okay, just because they're iffy about buying a home, they get a lesser relationship with Gerald, mm-hmm. versus the people who buy a house every time they call me. I'm taking them out to lunch. Mm-hmm. I completely understand that.
So this is how it goes, right, with like the psychology with sellers. I'm not the only one that's hitting them up about selling their home, right? And so you get, let's say you get five people that's trying to call you. Out of those five people, even if you may be in the ballpark of selling and you're already talking numbers and you're considering offers, you're going to choose, out of those five people that are calling you, man, who do I like more? You know, who can I vibe more? Mm-hmm. Who's more interested in me as a person than wanting to make money off of just buying my house? Because they know what we're trying to get at. We got to let them know, like, hey, we buy properties in many different ways, right? We use it for fix and flips. We do rental properties. Or we just wholesale the thing, mm-hmm. right? They understand that from the jump. It's the person that they're going to choose is who they like more. And that's the psychology of it. And so I don't know if it's like that with barbering. Like, I haven't really put that much thought to it. But I like to think so, right? The reason why I have my clients that come to me, because they like the person I am.
1,000%.
They like the person that you are. They like the product that you give. And they like the environment that you're in.
1,000%, bro.
My brother, by the way. My brother, Ryan. He put me on this book, The Wolf of Wall Street. Mm-hmm. And it teaches you exactly what makes the person a successful salesperson. It's not only the company, right? It's not only the product, but it's you.
As a seller. 1,000%.
If they like you, they vibe with you, right? 1,000%. They want to collaborate with you, and they want to see you win. You feel me,
bro? You talking to a veteran, my hands is hella sweaty.
It's good.
Veteran retail salesman. Like, before I went in trying to do the entrepreneurial and having my job, bro.
Yeah.
I could sell water to the motherfucking ocean. Kid you not, bro. Every job I had, I was top salesman. And the easiest way that I always targeted people is, Gerald, he's coming to Dillard's. I'm not asking Gerald about why he's here. I'm not asking Gerald what he's looking to buy. Hey, bro, how you doing today? You doing good? Man, that's some clean-ass shoes you got on. Hold on. What you finna do today? Mm-hmm. Oh, then it's I'm building up that relationship. Like, bro, mm-hmm. I had a couple, one point, the wife brings her husband in because they're taking engagement photos.
Yeah.
I ironed, pressed, and folded my man's suit, tucked his shirt in, got him a belt, everything. He was like, bro, you didn't have to do any of this.
Right.
I'm like, bro, it's your engagement, your wife looking bomb, mm-hmm. you coming in here trying to go to polo.
You're giving way much more than you receive, bro. You feel me, bro? Like, that's...
I was making like $13 at that job.
Yeah.
Asking motherfuckers about their life. Hey, let me get your phone number so the next time you come in here, you could deal with me. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to do any of that. Mm-hmm. But it was just based off of, I'm real, real huge on your net worth is your network. Meaning the amount of money you make, the relationships that you make is all based off of the people you know. And it's like anybody that I deal with will always get right off the bat the cool Dwayne.
Yeah, yeah.
If you asshole, I can easily reciprocate that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like if you cool and you a vibing person and you trying to do something with yourself, mm-hmm. then we gonna be best of friends. Mm-hmm. So I really like that a lot. Like that a lot.
What I've learned too is like, You got to understand how people are. You get what I'm saying? The person that's in front of you. So, like I've told you before, you know, off of the, before we started recording, people that come into the barbershop that can sit on my chair, not so much that I want them to like me, but if I want them to keep coming into the barbershop still, right, we have to make sure that they're comfortable, right? And if they're comfortable sitting on my chair and I ask the question, okay, how could I better serve this person? Even though he might not care about the way his haircut is, how fresh the fade is, how straight the lineup is, but he just wants the same service every time.
1,000%.
And so to make them even more comfortable, okay, how's he feeling, right? What's their energy like? Okay, is he chill? Is he enthusiastic? Is he, you know, heightened with so much positive energy? I got to reciprocate that back, okay? So I might have somebody that sits in my chair and they're super quiet, right? And to me, like, I could be super quiet too because naturally that's how I am. And he may love it. Like, he may like that. Like, people tell me personally, bro, like, man, sometimes I just like to chill. I be tired from work. You know, I work at the warehouse. I'm like, cool, bro. You know, I'm chill, too. I change the tonality of my voice. And, you know, it's just when people come in with totally different opposite type of vibe, or they're coming in, it's their birthday, right? Or they mm-hmm. just got off of work, or they're ready to go to Vegas for the weekend. I'm reciprocating that same shit back.
Yeah.
It's making them feel comfortable. You know what I mean? And that's my way of giving much more value. And they don't know that. You know what I mean? And not a lot of people understand that. And I think if that's one message that I can provide for people, right, whether they be barbers, real estate entrepreneurs, or selling their brands. Mm-hmm. It's like, bro, like when you're in the conversation of a prospect and you're selling them, not your company, your product, but yourself, vibe with them, man. You know what I mean? Like how would you feel, bro? Like, the way you are, because I know how you are, right? You're hella energetic. Mm-hmm. And for me to just be chill and just down and out, like, it's raining outside, bro. I'm not really feeling it today. You won't vibe with that.
Nah.
You know what I mean?
Nah, because it's like, I'm huge, like, really, really huge on energy. And it's like, I can be hype at times, but it's like, for the most part.
Thing too.
What? What you mean?
Like, energy. Like, people tend to talk about that more. You get what I'm saying? Because it used to be more like...
Okay, so it's funny that you say that because of the pandemic, when people had to stay in the house, mm-hmm. for, like, people who believe in, like, affirmations and the law of attraction and speaking things into existence, when the pandemic happened, that was, like, the largest spiritual awakening that we've ever had.
I agree with you, yeah.
So it's like, I just got in the atmosphere of just... Like, shit, bro, like, before everything, like, shit, I want to say 2-3 years ago, bro, I was fucked up. Like, fucked up. Like, mindset was fucked up. Didn't know what I wanted to do, just knew my work schedule.
Negative speaking on yourself.
Speaking on myself. I want to say I was chunkier at the time. And it was just, like, just real big on energy. Like, even if you came over and you was on some chill shit, bro, we could be on some chill shit. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to be sitting there like, Gerald, what's up?
Right.
Like, how you doing? Like, is everything good?
It kind of throws you off, right? But at the same time, it's like you want to reciprocate the same thing, man.
Yeah, and I've been to Parlor 88, bro. Yeah. Everybody in there is fucking phenomenal. Everybody. I remember going in there getting a cut by you. And how much do you charge for haircuts
nowadays?
Yeah.
$35-$40.
I think I might have to start fucking with you.
Yeah, we're on the
floor. My nigga charged $60.
I wish I could charge that much.
Just for a lineup, my nigga.
I wish I could charge that.
Bro,
much.
He went from $40 to $60, and I said, why? He said, because he was like, your wife hairstylist went up. But I was like, my wife getting her hair did, she getting her hair washed, she get mimosas, they even go out to eat. I'm like, my nigga, you just lining me up and I'm finna go home and talk to you in 2 more weeks. $60? But I don't know anybody else that cuts, and you cut. And everybody that fucking get cut by you, they always like, yo, bro, Gerald was talking about you, especially my nigga Josh. I said, what? Even when your folks had slid in my DMs, I'm like, yo, who is this dude? He's like, yo, man, my cousin told me about you, man. I just want to reach out. I'm like, this nigga Gerald said all this?
Justin?
Justin told me and Josh told me.
Right.
I'm like, Gerald showing love like that? I need to go fuck with Gerald then. I'm over here.
Hey, you know, hey, but good luck trying to book with me, bro, because I'm booked up 3 weeks out.
I book every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks on a Saturday. Yeah, so I mean, okay, if it's 3 weeks, I could work with that. What do you use as a booking app?
Booksy?
Yeah. Yeah, bro. I might have to fuck with you.
Damn, I might not promote it so much if you had to ask me, bro. Because I really gotta do more of that marketing.
Why you got it in your bio?
So I don't do much marketing with my haircut and stuff because I'm already so booked as it is. It's like, if I take on new clients, a lot of my existing clients are going to be down and out. You know what I mean? And so they're just going to end up texting me like, hey, bro, let me know if you got anything open. And I don't mind texting them. But at the same time, it's like, I think I'm chill where I'm at.
You don't do hot seats?
Hmm?
You don't do hot seats?
No.
Like, hey, bro, $100. $100, I'll let you cut the line. $100?
For hot seats?
Hot seat, $100.
Bro, if I booked an appointment,
mm-hmm.
and my appointment was at 5 o'clock, and then somebody comes in talking about, I need a haircut now. Hey, bro, I can't get you. I'm going to make this $100. I understand people are like, go do your thing, bro. Bro, like what I told you, right?
I'm more about
the structure of my day. And I don't want just like random shit come at me. And now I got to get this $100 to cut my boy. And I got to make sure that this $100 is well worth his time. And then the 5 o'clock that was booked at that time.
He's got to get cut at six.
I'm pushed back another hour now.
And then your 6 o'clock is pushed back. Yeah. Right. It'll fuck up the whole dynamic of your day.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, money doesn't drive me, bro. So Lori had told me yesterday, and shout out to her, bro. Like, she told me, like, do stuff in your day that fills your cup.
Oh, explain that.
We had to call her for her to explain that, bro. She didn't
want to. Well, what did it mean to you?
To me, like, just simply doing what you want to do. And, like, I guess, like I've told you in the beginning, bro, like, I put so much time into cutting hair, bro, that, like, I love cutting hair, but I don't want to spend so much time cutting hair no more. Like, that's going to be a part of my day, but it's, the money's not going to be my driving factor. Having to serve people, like you said, like, relationships is way more important to me than money is.
1,000%.
So, look, if I was to kick my 5 o'clock out of his chair to get $100, but then now I push my whole entire schedule, whole hour.
You got five pissed off guys and one guy who was convenient.
Bro, exactly. And so I have other shit going on for me towards the end of the day. I still got to prepare for the next day. That's going to throw off my entire week now.
Guaranteed.
You know what I mean? Just for another $100, bro.
That's true.
That I'm probably just going to spend on, you know, marketing and shit. And
that's good, though.
My service. That is good, but at the same time, it's like, I'm more invested in my relationships than I am with money.
And
I can't do that to people too, bro. And that's just the guy I am. Like, people tell me all the time, like, bro, you're hella nice. And I'm like, shit, sometimes I don't even know. Sometimes I'm an asshole. I could be selfish at times.
Easily, but it's like, I'll get told that too, but it's like, you only saying that because you are fortunate enough to not have pushed me to that limit. Just because you see me at the barbershop laughing and smiling, motherfucker, you're not at my house. You're not at my job. You're not around with me driving in the car because some motherfuckers out. So it's like having that mindset of shit, bro, just being cool and showing love to the people that show love to you, bro, will always, always put you in a fucking good position. Like even at my job, bro, like customers would be like, hey, man, I know that you don't got to do something, but I'm missing a package. Bro, do you know that I have... Hey, hold on, honey. Hang up my phone. Call my HQ and hand customers my phone. I'm like, give them your track and ask them where it's at. Mm. Really? Yeah.
You talking about the products that you be selling?
Nah, like at work. Like when I be delivering packages and shit. It's like
Wait, are these the UPS packages right here?
Nah, that's my bottles that launch on the 7th.
You gotta go to work.
Nah, those are my bottles that launch on the 7th. I just been focusing on like marketing, and then like friends and family who like see me face to face.
Yeah,
I let them buy one off the rip, but it's like they dropping on May 7th.
All right, for sure.
May 7th.
I'm gonna have to cop one, bro.
Bro, I have a look. I'll show you. I have a fucking.
It's a flask, right? It's just.
It's a, I'll let you check it out.
Yes, sir.
I'm selling them for $56 flat. And I'm selling them for that price is because, like how you said, you want to provide a service.
Yeah.
If you go to my competitor, which is Hydro Flask, the bottle itself and the cap alone without the bumper is going to cost you $35. The bumper on the bottom to protect the bottle is going to be $25. Ooh. And getting a second plastic cap is another $25. I give you a steel cap, a bumper, a daily message, and a backup cap.
I'm going to read what's on the bottle, all right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Grind time and mentally examine the inner me extensively.
Game time.
Game time.
Grind
them. That's clean, bro.
This season focuses on affirmations, mental health, speaking things into existence. And then second season is going to be about domestic violence. And that one is going to be breathe.
Oh, yeah?
Be real even after the hurt ends.
You big on that?
Domestic violence?
Yeah,
I grew up in that shit. Experienced it my whole fucking life. Like, I remember being 11 years old, and my stepfather at the time, he fucking was on some weird-ass shit with my mom. And I jumped in to try to protect her, bro. I've been thrown through sliding glass doors, all kind of shit, bro.
Damn, bro. I'm sorry to hear that, man.
It is what it is, bro. It's life.
Yeah.
But I've also huge on not being so much affected by my environment. Understanding where I came from, understanding what I went through. But for me, it's not a crutch.
Speak on that more, man. I'd love to hear that.
Well, I mean, it's like shit, bro. I grew up. I got hella little sisters. I got my little brother. And it's like, bro, I'm the oldest. And it's like, majority of our life, their dad, my stepfather, was always abusive as fuck.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I was in a situation where my mother could not get out of that situation.
Right.
And the simple fact that I wasn't his child, I always got the worst end of it. But it's like, the biggest reason is, okay, yeah, I grew up fucked up, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not downplaying my situation, but I know for 1,000% fact, I can't sit up here and use it as a crutch every day when I know somebody going through it 3,000 times worse than me. Okay, I grew up with domestic violence in the house. My cousin's origin story, I won't say it, is fucking awful as fuck, sad as fuck. And how he turned out, honestly, he used his attributes on how he grew up as a crutch. So now mentally, he's fucked up because, yada yada blase, nigga, 10 years ago this, 9 years ago that. And I'm like, cuz, like, I get it, but we're literally at the age where all the fucked up shit we went through is nothing but a fucked up memory at this point. Right. It didn't happen yesterday, 10 years ago. Like, I realized that, for one, somebody has it worse than me. Somebody has it worse than them, so on and so forth. Just like trying to chase the riches of trying to be the barber who's charging $120 an hour. There's somebody charging $200. There's somebody charging $300. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if I'm always focused on what somebody else has going on, then I'll never really be able to just sit here and get over my shit, what I had going on. Mm-hmm. So I identified the problems. I identified that, okay, I got to be a great man to my woman. Yep. Because my sisters don't know what it is, what it means to have a great man in their life.
Because they didn't grow up with
it. They didn't grow up with it. Yep. And it's like, I'm at the point where all my sisters tell me that, yo, my man is exactly like you. He take care of me. He treat me good. I didn't get a man like my dad. I got a man like my brother. Mm-hmm. And it's like, for me, it's like, shit, that really changed a lot. So it's like, now I'm at the point where I work hard. I fucking do so many different things just to show my siblings that you can make well over six figures without a degree. All of them is in school. I'm like, you get that education, I can show you the blueprint to get an LLC all the way up to business card, business credit, whatever, because I did it. And I fucked up in certain points when coming up to the business, so I got you. And for my little brother, he young, he 21. I'm like, yo, you young, you hustling. I see you out there smoking weed, but I'm your big bro. All I'm saying is stack your chips. Right. That's all I'm saying. Right, right. You can still maintain your mindset. I helped my brother set up like a budgeting calendar, but it's just really just me trying to set an example for my siblings. Because even now, my mother is 3,000 times worse than when we was kids. And now she just by herself. And I got my baby sisters living with her, one 16, the other one 13, one in college, and my other sister's with her piece of shit ass dude.
Yeah.
But it's like, instead of dwelling on all that, I just focus on always making sure that I'm good, because I'll never fall off and they'll always have somebody to count on.
Isn't it funny how people blame the way they grew up and their upbringing?
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think...
Ends in an hour.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Ends in an hour?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, go ahead.
But nah, bro, like, it's crazy because, and that's how I used to be. I used to blame so much for how I was brought up. Even though to some folks, it was like, man, you got it good, bro. You know, your dad owned the business. Your mom was at home. Your brothers were all intact in the household, right? And I'm sure people could, relate. But, like, we blame the way we brought up. We were brought up. And so it didn't take me until, like, bro, like, the age of 25 to understand that. And I hated it so much that I didn't come to realize it now. But I try not to use that as the reason why I'm fucking, you know, not doing enough, or the reason why I don't have this, or I don't have the money, or I can't support the people that I can in my community because of the way I was brought up.
You got to stop comparing yourself, is what it was.
Yeah,
I'm too busy focused on, damn, of course my nigga is making $85,000 a month. His dad was a real estate agent. His mom is an engineer. But I can't sit up here and be like, my life is like this because I didn't have a good mom or dad. No, that has nothing to do with me. Everybody is dealt certain cards, because I really feel like folks who are meant for success, we go through the roughest shit, because the success is so guaranteed that the only way to get there is by overcoming all the obstacles that you're going through. And I only feel that you can do that by not comparing. If I compare myself to my partner, damn, my nigga, $85,000 a month. But if I'm comparing myself to Dwayne last year, huge difference. If I'm comparing myself to Dwayne 3 years ago, black and white.
Bruh,
it's crazy. But it's like, you just gotta compare yourself to you.
Sir, man, comparison is the thief of all joy.
That is why if I didn't need to promote my brands, bro, I would not be on social media. I don't go on social media now. I don't watch nobody's stories. Don't take it personal. I go on, I post, I get the fuck off. I don't scroll nothing.
That could be for another topic, bro.
Yeah. You see. So, continuing from that last episode, because it ended so quickly. Go ahead. You can go ahead and continue now. All
right. So, what was he talking about?
It wasn't social media.
You were talking about that, but we're talking about comparing ourselves and situations with other times and other people.
Yeah, but just right now, I want to say that we was talking about the first hour of the day and like what that means through your whole day.
Oh, yeah. So I think it's best that you go ahead and tell people what the Quick guy said. What's his name?
Jim Quick. So the biggest thing for anybody right now, right here today, focusing on mindset is, for one, the first hour of your day, 9 times out of 10, you get on your phone, you check social media, and passively, we don't understand that is like, bro, how often do you check Instagram without any notifications? You just open your shit.
I just open my shit.
Exactly. You know
I'll
why?
In here and I'll just open this shit for no fucking reason, bro.
It's because, but what did you do the first hour of the day when you woke up and took your morning shit? You probably got on your phone. That's you training your brain for the normality that you're going to have throughout the whole day. And I didn't realize that until I wake up, not get on my phone, just for the first hour. Try it if you don't believe me. Not get on my phone, sit on a toilet, reading shampoo bottles, whatever. I'll come out here and draw. Bro, I'll literally spend the whole day not getting on Instagram.
Yeah.
Not getting on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like...
It kills your whole morning, bro. And not a lot of people know that. There's this thing, I forgot which book I read it from, but like, you know, as you work out, you're burning calories, you know, you're expending energy and you're draining yourself, right? You're depleting yourself, your muscles and everything like that. There's this thing called mental calories. Well, not a lot of people know this, but when they're on their phone, and it don't have to be Instagram, it could be YouTube, it could be texting people, you're spending mental energy on your phone. And so what I like to say is, before bed, I like to place my phone in my office so that way it's not in front of me when I wake up.
It's not
in front of me when I wake up. And the reason for that is because I want to get on my phone. And I still do because I got to go get it, set up my alarm clocks and all that stuff. And then, get my timer for my workouts and go straight into the garage and start working out, put on some music. But I try not to let people steal me away from myself. I got to steal myself away from the world before I get into work and stuff. So I get my workout in. I do my prayer.
Steal
my meditation.
Yourself? Like, what do you mean? Like prioritizing yourself before you get your day set?
Myself before I let people steal me away for business and for cutting hair and for like my lady and my dog and all that stuff. Like, this, I got shit that I got to do throughout the day. I want to make sure that my mindset is cool before I get into it.
Yeah.
And there's this, it's a 3-hour rule, right? That 3-hour rule is you do everything that you can, that you want to do to make sure that you're financially good, your mentality is good for the day, physically, having to take care of business and all that stuff. Do that in the first 3 hours of your day so that the rest of your day could be towards people getting your attention, demanding your time. You know, my lady wanted me to do stuff around the house, or my mother-in-law wanted to do stuff around the house. My dog needed me to walk him around the neighborhood. My clients demanding my time to cut their hair, texting back people for haircut appointments, and all the other stuff that life steals you away from. And so my first 3 hours of the day is invested in what I have to do for myself and my future. And so that towards the end of the day, it could be towards, doing shit like folding laundry.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that I need to do for my lady, my family and all that stuff. And so you can do all you can in the beginning of the day, and then do the stupid shit that, you know, like going watching the opera with your wife or whatever. You feel me, bro? Like the shit that like you normally would get mad at because you're there, but you have to be there because she's your wife. But then because you had to take care of business in the front end of your day, you aren't so petty no more doing that shit.
Yeah, 1,000%.
You get what I'm saying? So, like, I have days where if I wake up late and I just jump straight into the day, man, my whole mind will be in a rut because I'd be like, bro, I did not work out. I did not pray. I did not meditate. I did not do what I had to do to get my mind right. And now I just feel like shit the whole day. It people can sense it in me, right? And so for me, as long as I tackle my day taking care of myself, I can be happy for the rest of the day and make sure I can be the best I can be for my family, my lady,
anything
like that. My clients, my boys at the barbershop. You feel me? I had to make sure before this interview, I had to make sure my mind is right so I could be the best I can be on the mic.
Honestly, that I love that. I love that a lot because I even now start understanding what it means to like prioritize yourself. It's like not a form of being selfish, but it's like, look, if I'm not mentally all the way there, I'm gonna just be an asshole for the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. And it's like even the rituals I have, like, bro, I cannot hit the road without saying my daily affirmations and without saying my prayers. I cannot hit the road for any period of time.
Yeah.
I don't care who you is. If you've been in the car with me and we've gone anywhere longer than 30 minutes, you heard me pray over the whole car.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, bro, you praying? I'm like, safe travels. I got to protect all of us.
Yeah.
Now we're guaranteed protected because I just prayed. And it's like, if I don't get up and pray, I don't get up and say my affirmations, then it's like, kid you fucking not.
Mm-hmm.
My number one is I am grateful for all the love, joy, and abundance that finds me today. I am open, I am ready, and I receive. Single day I say that shit, bro, something insane happens.
You calibrate your mind for that, right?
Yeah.
You're recalibrating your whole mind. And so even though at that, you have those days where you, man, like, why am I saying this shit? It's only going to take a second to say it. Just do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
For me, I have my set prayers and my affirmations that I do in the morning. And there's days where I'm just like, man, do I want to spend 2 minutes saying this shit? I do it anyways, bro.
Yeah.
You know, because I know at the end of the day or at the end of it, I'm going to feel way much better. Even though you're not going to get that instant change, you know what I mean, your fury. But, like, it carries on to the rest of the day's tasks that you got to do.
Look.
You got to stack them wins when you can, bro.
1,000%. And one thing that I learned is, like, when it comes to affirmations, you got to look at them as you planting a seed.
Yeah.
Anytime you say something, you speak something into existence, you're planting a seed. Every thought that you have in your whole day, like, affirmations and the law of attraction is on a 24/7 time clock.
Yes, sir.
So everything that you constantly thinking about is all real estate, your woman, your barbering, those are all separate pots with separate seeds. And whatever you think about is you watering it.
Yeah.
And over time, you'll start to see certain things start to outgrow, start to change, start to be better than others, all based off of, damn, I was just thinking about my real estate doing good all last week. Now I'm getting calls every single day. And you might sit there and think, damn, maybe.
It's weird how that works, man.
No, it's the law of attraction, bro. It is 100,000%. The blueprint to life. You think it, therefore you are, therefore you become.
Mm-hmm.
If you sit there and you think to yourself, yo, I'll never make this certain amount of money, no matter what you do, you've already accepted the fact that you can't make that money. And then the only thing you'll end up doing later is complaining about, see, I knew I wasn't going to make that much. Bro, you already told the universe, I'm okay where I'm at. They said, okay, Gerald, cool. Right. Why are we going to work to put anything in your path if you're not telling us what you want and you're not working for it?
Right.
Law of attraction is the words, but you got to put in that work.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it starts off with telling yourself first.
Yes. And understanding and believing in it.
Yeah.
Because you can get up and say your affirmations, but you for a fact would be like, okay, damn, my days are amazing because my affirmation I said, or is my day amazing because while I said my affirmation, I didn't have the slightest doubt in my mind that after I said this, my day was going to get better.
I love it, bro.
And that's exactly what happens every single time, bro. And it's like you plant those seeds, you constantly thinking about them, And then sooner or later, you'll start to see your plants grow, bro. And then you'll really sit there like, on one hand, damn, I worked my ass off to get here. I deserve everything. But it's like, in reality, how often was you thinking about real estate? How often was you thinking about barber? How often was you thinking about your woman getting to the next stage in your relationship?
Yeah.
All the time. And then when it happens, people would be like, oh, what? I can't believe this happened. Why? Mm-hmm. You was thinking about it all the time and you was speaking on it all the time.
Yeah.
Of course it was going to happen. So it's like, just like having that attribute in everything you do, bruh. It's like, I fucking, shouts out to Gerald for buying a bottle weeks ahead of time. But it's like the bottles, this is just remind people that affirmations are real.
Yeah.
They're real as fuck. Like, 100%. Law of attraction is a code that I live by, but if I explain it to somebody that's stuck in a rut, don't know what they got going on, they will not know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they won't. They won't.
But then you'll sit there like, okay, you have no idea what law of attraction is, but you're guaranteed somebody who hates their job, hates their relationship, and hates where their life is going, and you don't understand that if you change your environment, your habits form your habitats, you'll be in a totally different space. But me and you both learn, I can't be the money man, that the pillar that I want to be for my family, if I'm not educating myself.
Yeah.
I can't talk about money if I don't understand it. I can't tell you about crypto if I don't understand it.
Yeah.
So it's like, you sit there, you take a step back, you learn everything, and then now you're this person with a whole different vocabulary added on to you. And it's like, I don't know, bro. It's
like I said, man, it's crazy how that works, bro, because you put your mind into something that much, man, that shit would just follow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I'm not the type to, like, I'm not the type to express so much of what I have going on. I got to let my actions speak for it. You feel me, bro?
Yes.
I do need to work on that more, where I need to tell myself and believe it. You can't just tell yourself and just hope for the best, but you gotta really engage all your sensory motors. You gotta vision it.
Speak it, think it. You can't be like, yo, I'm gonna have a good day at work.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say your affirmations and then you go, well, I mean, if I don't, then I'll be good.
Right.
You already set it in stone that you will be content with not having a good day.
That seems like the common denominator with people that get everything that they talk about is because they talk about it.
Yeah.
Kanye West, bro.
They talk about it.
Kanye West is a fucking great example for that, bro.
Always talking about it. Always working for it. Like, think about, like, your friends who do, like, a lot of your, like, think about some buddies that you have who aren't talking about what they want to do, what they're going to do, and what they got going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, not judging the homies, but it's like, you'll sit there like, oh,
yeah.
That's why you stuck like that. Because anytime I try to be like, yo, Gerald, I understand you got a bachelor's degree and you hate the job you work at. Here's other attributes for you to utilize your degree to get something.
Right.
And if you sit there like, nah, that don't work for everybody, it ain't gonna work for you. You already accepted that it won't.
Right.
You not everybody. Like, anytime, like, only a select few people knew that I was starting a business. Like, we got this together in July.
Mm-hmm.
I only announced it last week because I'm huge in announcing things once they're done. I'm not big on, hey, man, you know what I'm gonna do? Hey, man, you know what I got going on? No, I show results.
You know what I had to switch up? I had to switch up from saying, I'm trying to do this. Because trying pretty much simply states that, like, you're going to fail.
You're accepting the bare minimum.
I tell people, look, bro, if you want to be a barber, you got to say, I'm going to be a barber.
Yeah.
You're going to say, I'm trying to be a barber, but you're going to be looking for excuses, and you're not going to know it, but you're going to find excuses why not to be a barber. You know what I mean? And so it's weird how that works, but, bro, like, for me, when I say that, when I switch up my vocabulary, bro, like, it's tenfold, man. I have so much more results. I'm so much more productive because my mind plays tricks on me, right? When I switch up the vocabulary, bro, I automatically, my brain starts to work differently, man.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And so
yes.
It's cool, bro. And before we end this thing, right, because I got to go cut hair.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I try to make it a thing, right? When somebody comes into the shop or when you tell me about your hustle and everything that you have aspiring for you, I try to make it a thing to encourage people, bro.
Always.
Because not a lot of people get it, especially in our small community over here in Stockton. I really try to make it a thing that if somebody has something going for them and you could just tell by the way they talk about it in their eyes and how they speak it, bro, like, I want that. So you got to give that to other people, man.
You got
to
be the change you want to see.
Yeah, bro.
Like, you'll tell somebody about the about what you got going on, and it's like, just because you don't believe it in me, I believe in you.
Yeah.
And it's like the simple fact that I know what it feels like to not have anybody to count on. Mm-hmm. Motherfuckers could count on me, and I can easily be like, oh, I didn't have nobody. You shouldn't. Nah, I didn't have nobody, so you will. And like you said, before we end the episode,
yes, sir.
One thing I will say is anytime you speak on something, speak on it as it's already done. Speak on it as you already got it in your hands.
Speak as if you already had it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then change the word got to get. Like how you just said, yo, I got to go cut somebody's hair. No, you don't. You get to go cut somebody's hair.
Yeah, yeah.
You get to have clients. You get to go home to your woman. Not I got to, because if you say I got, then it sounds like something you don't want to do.
Yeah, I feel you, bro.
You feel me?
Yeah.
So it's like, I always, like, I'll be speaking on it like, oh, man, well, I hope. And then anytime you hear me talk, you'll be like, nah, 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 nah. I will. I can. I am. Like, that's what you have to exert to get what you want. But.
Got you, man.
This is my boy, Gerald. Hit him up at Parlor 88. What, you want to give him your contact info?
Shit.
Like your Instagram, how to hit you up about real estate.
Yeah, so if you wanna get with me and tap in with a haircut, bro, just hit me up on Instagram at thegoodbarber209, or just download Booksy and search up Parlor 88 Barbershop and just search up my name, Gerald Denier. I work from Monday through Friday. On Saturdays, I'm gonna open up my schedule again. So for those that are wanting to get in on the weekends, just text me. I'm not going to open up my schedule on Saturdays just because I always have shit going on with real estate and everything like that, and just trips with my lady. And with the whole real estate thing, man, like, if any of you out there are aspiring to become a real estate entrepreneur, because that's what I'm going to do, tap in with me, because we can make stuff happen. We can collaborate and we can get deals together. And what I mean by that, man, we could partner in some things where if you have knowledge with that part of the real estate game, definitely feel free to give me a call and see how we can provide each other value and see how we can make things work.
Hell yeah. And that is my boy, Gerald Donair.
Yes, sir.
Hit him up, Parlor 88, The Good Barber. And that's what I call a good-ass fucking podcast, bro.
Hope you guys enjoyed Cypher Something. I have plenty of content on the way. Check out Forella Galleria on Instagram. This is a new segment I'm adding to Let's Talk Forella, but I just wanted to give insight and feedback and perspective on certain topics and point of views from everybody's life. I hope you guys enjoy the beat, because we worked really hard on it. Shouts out to Little Uzi Squirt.